We talked in this manner through the early morning time, and later crept out of the bushes, and, after scanning the sky for Martians, hurried precipitately to the house on Putney Hill where he had made his lair. It was the coal cellar of the place, and when I saw the work he had spent a week upon, it was a burrow scarcely 10 yards long, which he designed to reach to the main drain on Putney Hill, I had my first inkling of the gulf between his dreams and his powers. Such a hole I could have dug in a day, but I believed in him sufficiently to work with him all that morning until past midday at his digging. We had a garden barrow, and shot the earth we removed against the kitchen range. We refreshed ourselves with a tin of mock turtle soup and wine from the neighboring pantry. I found a curious relief from the aching strangeness of the world in this steady labor. As we worked, I turned his project over in my mind, and presently, objections and doubts began to arise. But I worked there all the morning, so glad was I to find myself with a purpose again. After working an hour, I began to speculate on the distance one had to go before the cloaca was reached, the chances we had of missing it altogether. My immediate trouble was why we should dig this long tunnel, when it was possible to get into the drain at once, down one of the manholes, and work back to the house. It seemed to me, too, that the house was inconveniently chosen, and required a needless length of tunnel. And just as I was beginning to face these things, the artilleryman stopped digging and looked at me. "We're working well," he said. He put down his spade. "Let's just knock off a bit," he said. "I think it's time we reconnoitered from the roof of the house." I was for going on, and after a little hesitation, he resumed his spade. And then suddenly I was struck by a thought. I stopped, and so did he at once. "Why were you walking about the common," I said, "instead of being here?"
"Taking the air," he said. "I was coming back. It's safer by night."
"But the work?"
"Oh, one can't always work," he said,
and in a flash, I saw the man plain. He hesitated, holding his spade.
"We ought to reconnoitre now," he said, "because if any come near, they may hear the spades and drop upon us unawares."